You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Gerald Bourget, Espo, and Saul Bookman. Gentlemen, happy Monday. How was your weekend? Everyone feeling good?
Not too bad.
Okay. I don't remember it, so that's either good or bad. I don't know. It's fine.
Why don't you remember it?
Too many OGs, four peaks, or just super uneventful?
Since COVID, I don't remember anything that isn't significant anymore.
That's fair. That is fair. So I feel like we have to start the show on a little bit of a down note. Mm-hmm. Obviously, pay our respects to the late, great Bill Russell. May he rest in peace, and our condolences, of course, to all of his friends and family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, listen. Bill Russell, I don't think it can even be disputed that he is probably the winningest or the greatest champion in sport, period. 11-time world champion, 5-time MVP. He won 11 championships in the NBA in 13 seasons. Just an unbelievable person. And on top of that, he won 2 NCAA championships, a gold medalist, all doing it in the 50s and 60s in the height of racism here in this country, when a lot of black people were just being treated completely unfairly. And he played in a city. Listen, when he played for the Boston Celtics in the 50s and 60s, they wouldn't even sell out because so many people did not want to support people like him. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to support a black player like that. And we're talking about one of the greatest athletes of all time. Like, he just was a tremendous person. His civil rights activism was stellar. He supported Muhammad Ali when Muhammad Ali didn't want to be drafted because of the abuse and the racism here in the country. Just a tremendous individual who represented himself and his sport the very best he could, and the world lost a tremendous human being. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers, obviously, to him and his family over this. You know, I don't even want to say it's a sad day. I think it's a celebratory moment to really recognize the greatness of an individual like Bill Russell. I got to see him once in my entire life, and it was right before COVID. It was at the Suns Arena, and I didn't even realize it was him until he was like neck to neck with me. And it was like immediately, like I just like lost my bearings. Like I couldn't even talk. Like I couldn't even think, because it was like greatness was right here, right next to me. And when somebody like that is next to you, you can feel it. Like you understand and you really revere how amazing that person was.
Yeah. He's one of the rare people that you look at his basketball career, and obviously he's an all-time legend, all-time great. And then you look at what he was able to do off the court, and he's somehow an even greater human being and just important figure in our country's history, regardless of sports or not. And to be the person that he was, you know, you saw on Twitter so many people paying their respects, talking about how he had this infectious laugh and how he could just easily light up a room. And for him to be that type of person, despite the discrimination that he faced, despite the hatred that he faced, because I think his daughter wrote a while back about the time that their house was burglarized and what people wrote on the walls and what they did to their belongings. And it's just, it's disgusting. And it's remarkable that he was able to not only achieve what he did on the court, despite all that, but give it back as far as his civil rights work, as far as just the loving and embracive human being that he was. It's incredible. And we definitely lost an all-time great human being.
Yeah, and he never let any of that silence his voice. I mean, he was always out there even till the end. I mean, he was standing up for players' rights, and during the Black Lives Matter stuff, he was out there at the forefront well into his 80s. So that was a man that lived by his convictions. And you know, he was also, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was the first African-American head coach in
first,
the league as
well. First Black coach and first player coach in the NBA and won a championship as the first one too. Just unbelievable.
Great, great man, did a lot for the game, but did a lot for humanity, which was more important. So,
and from here on out, all we can do is be thankful that we got to witness him in our lifetime and just keep his name and his movements and all the things that he did that were good for us alive in our own actions day to day. All right, let's move on to some Suns basketball talk here. We've got a packed show for you guys today. Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, Kevin Durant, all the things.
I love every morning when Lindsay's like, so what are we going to talk about today? And inevitably, as soon as she says that, all these things happen on Twitter. We're like, well, I guess we got a show.
That's it. That's what we're talking about. We're going to start with Cam Johnson, though, because this past weekend he hosted a basketball tournament and our very own Gerald Bourguet was there and he got to speak with Cam about all of the off-season things. So, Gerald, where would you like to start with
us? Yeah, there was a lot because he talked to us for like 12 minutes. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but for people like in an interview, that's a lot
it's
of time.
It's like 4 hours in real time.
It's a lot of transcribing, too. But no, he talked about a lot of things and he was very upfront and honest about the offseason that he's been having. And the first thing, we'll play this clip, but I did ask him about, first and foremost, you know, how are you feeling about contract extension talks? Because when we had last talked to him at JaVale McGee's charity event, he had mentioned, you know, when I had asked him then, he was saying, well, they've got higher priorities right now. The DA thing is obviously going to be their first item on the agenda. Now that that's taken care of, I asked him, where do you kind of feel those talks are right now? And this is what he had to say.
In a good spot. You know, there's a lot of things to the business side of things. And what I've learned is that the business side will do what's best for the business side, and the personal side will do what's best for the personal side. The team will do what's best for them, and the players do what's best for them. And so that, you know, I'm always highly aware of that. But at the same time, I do love being here. So if we can get something done, I'd love it.
Yeah, so basically saying what we figured he would say, he would love to get something worked out, but he's fully cognizant of the fact that there's other stuff going on right now that the Suns are focused on. And I thought it was interesting how honest he was about hearing trade rumors. He walked us through where he was when he first heard the trade rumors. He was at North Carolina in the locker room. He was playing with some of the guys there. His little brother goes to UNC, obviously. And he was telling the guys, like, come on, man, leave my name out of that. Like, don't bring me into that. And then next thing he knows, he's in all of these trade rumors. But I'm kind of curious your guys' thoughts. If you were a player and you were just kind of trying to enjoy your offseason and your name gets thrown into trade rumors, how would you take it? Because I know how he responded as far as what how he's internalizing it. But how would it affect you?
It's a business. I mean, that's part of it. And I would rather have it sound like teams want me and find me desirable to be a part of one of the biggest trades in NBA history than not, because really everybody knows there's one untouchable here and his name's Devin Armani Booker. And outside of that, you know, other guys are available at the right price. So I don't think I'd let it bother me because I know it's part of what goes on in an offseason.
I don't believe you. Don't get offended. I'm just saying, offended. Like, I don't believe you because, like, my guy Espo, and I love you, is the most anxious person in the world. Yes. If he got a hint that he was going to be traded, he would worry about it.
Yeah.
He would.
Why would I worry about it? I'd be going to Brooklyn, one of the greatest.
I think it would be situational. I think it would be different. Yeah. Like, for instance, if Espo was getting traded and the place he was going was going to be a better situation, or they wanted him. It wasn't that whoever had him now was trying to get a bigger piece. I think, yeah, that's a great situation to go to. You want to be wanted, right?
If I heard rumors I was going to OKC or Detroit, I'd have problems.
Right? You know what I mean?
But like, Brooklyn, I'm like, hey,
you know,
like,
so I
like
think
New
that's
York.
How I feel. Is like, you know, if I'm getting traded to a place where they want me, right? They're trading a whole bunch of bags of chips and I get to go there because that's the I'm the piece that they're missing, right? I'm the piece that they think is going to put them over the top. I think that's a much more desirable and I can deal with that. But if I'm like, you know, just a throw-in.
Right.
It's a little tougher to deal with at that point. You know what I mean?
I feel like just as a human being, if you were like a piece of a trade, like if you were one of two players going out in a trade and one player is coming back, you're kind of just like, oh, okay. So there's two of us going out and one person coming back. That's kind of messed
cash
up.
Cash considerations? Like, man. What's cash considerations ever done for you, man?
A lot if you're this franchise.
I would be so stressed.
Yeah.
The whole time, because regardless of the situation, just the logistics of having to move your whole life and start new and you don't know the people complete, I would be so stressed.
Lindsay,
I would
hate it. It's a lot easier when you have millions of dollars.
Even if you have millions
of
dollars, though, like it's not like Cam is not on the same level as like a Devin or a KD. And moving to New York, even with millions of dollars, you're not trying to lose all your millions of dollars by paying rent.
Right.
That's fair.
Like,
I'd buy if I'm him, you know?
But what are you going to buy? A box?
I'm going to buy an 800-foot apartment.
Okay, let's just say all four of us, right? We were making multi-million dollar contracts, right? Mm-hmm. Do we even care? Like, if Gerald was making 230 mil, and I was making 10. Do I even care how much he's making? I don't care. And if he gets traded for me, like I don't give a shit about that. Like I still got traded. And on top of that, I think I'm every bit as good as him. Mm. Like that's what NBA players feel. Like Cam Johnson feels like, I'm sure he feels like, though he understands why KD would be a big deal, I'm sure he still feels like I'm not that far off.
Mm. Yeah, look, I don't care. If I were a player, I wouldn't care. I'd only care about guys in my own zip code. Like, how much did Mikhail get in his extension? That's how much I want kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not caring how much KD makes or anything like that. And you're right. They think, hey, I'm just I'm a few steps below that, but I could blossom wherever. So I get it.
Right. And in another response, he did touch on the kind of other things that people don't think about when it comes to guys being traded, like just the logistics of moving to another city, especially if you've never lived there, of if you have a family or a significant other or whatever, and you're uprooting from Phoenix to Brooklyn in this example. Like, I know that if you have money, they're less of an inconvenience than they would be to people like us, but it's still something that like he likes being here. Like he likes being in Phoenix. He was talking about how the best part is when he gets off the plane from a road trip. He gets to like, okay, jacket comes off. I don't have to scrape ice off my car. Like, I love the weather here. I love living here. And those are things that we kind of take for granted because we've been here for so long and because no one's trying to trade us to like CHGO or DMVR.
I'm sorry, as far as we know. Gerald, I'm sorry, but
not like this. But let's hear what Cam had to say about how he feels about hearing himself in trade rumors. Yeah, so he's very much, as far as your response is concerned, he's aware it's a business, and I think he's approaching it that way. But it's hard to separate yourself from that and kind of take a step back and be like, okay, I hear what everyone's saying about me. I'm just going to put my head down and try to keep getting better because that's really all I can do. Because I know for a fact, if it was me, I would be a nervous wreck. I would be like, man, I'd be so down on myself. I'm like, oh, man, they're trading me. Like,
I would literally text my agent every day. Hey, so what's going on?
Oh, any truth? No? Okay.
Any truth to this? Yeah. But I kind of applaud him for that. And he mentioned that like he's experienced this firsthand. He was talking about how close he was to Tyler Johnson during his rookie season and Tyler Johnson just got waived. And then he grew close with Ty Jerome, who was a rookie in his same draft class. And then Ty Jerome gets traded a couple months after that. So he's fully aware of this. He's seen
so
it in action
before.
So don't
be friends with Cam Johnson is what you're saying? Yes.
Mikhail.
Oh, no. Oh, man, that's tough. But, yeah, he was talking about how he's experienced this before. It's kind of internalized for him because he's, even in his 3 years in the league, he's seen a lot of turnover on this very same roster. But I kind of liked how he applied it to other aspects, because it's not just the trade rumors he's had to hear. It's the criticism as far as, okay, we need more ball dominant players. We need Cam to be able to go out and get a bucket. And he kind of touched on that directly. And he was saying, like, I've been ball dominant until basically college. Like, that's who I used to be. And now it's a matter of what he's working on this offseason is trying to get some of that back. He was like, Hoopers know if you don't practice something, you lose it. But then once you start to practice it again, you remember and it comes back very quickly. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about how over the summer he's had workouts here. He's had workouts back at home where he spent hours just focusing on, you know, ball dominant stuff, on little bits of footwork that he can perfect, and like not moving on to the next thing until he gets that right. And that's kind of a benefit of this long offseason that we've had, is they didn't have long off seasons his first 2 years. They were super short.
Didn't have any off season in reality, yeah.
And that's what we talked about, though. Mm-hmm. We talked about the need for Cam and Mikhail specifically to take their game to another level, because the last two seasons we've been bounced because they couldn't find that third guy consistently enough. Mm-hmm. And Cam, I feel like, has given us the bigger glimpse offensively of that. I mean, the game against the Knicks and the buzzer beater, like, that was a glimpse of what Cam Johnson could potentially do moving forward and being a key piece. So when people talk about, you know, listen, if they don't get KD, you need this core four to be just like what the Warriors have been with their core group. Like, you need that to happen. And the only way that happens is if they add tricks to their bag to get better and better and better. Even Devin Booker, you know, he's got to the great ones always try to find something to add to their game. Something. Even if it's a small thing, that small thing could end up being a huge part of their game moving forward. And I'm so excited to hear that Cam's doing that.
Well, and we've seen that, though, in his first few years. He's improved each step of the way. Mm-hmm. Even from the COVID break to the bubble, mm-hmm. we saw an improvement from Cam. So if he's on this roster, I definitely think he'll be one of those guys to step up offensively. And like you said, Saul, we've seen a lot of flashes of that, especially when Cam goes off the dribble towards the rack. I mean, we've mm-hmm. seen some moves there that's the kind of guy that can get it done. I don't want to see him gone, because I want to see what that next step looks like in purple and orange. Is Lindsay dying? What's over happening? There?
My foot fell asleep.
She's over here shaking her leg off.
My whole leg is tingling. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I want to see Cam's evolution here in Phoenix, because I think he's ready to take that next offensive step, and I'm glad to hear he's been focusing on that killer instinct portion of it.
Well, and it's good to see him talk himself up too a little bit. Like, Cam is a very humble guy who always gives pretty thoughtful answers, but sometimes you have to talk yourself up a little bit as well and make sure everyone knows exactly what you're doing behind the scenes, especially when you've got an extension on the line and a lot of money mm-hmm. that you're hoping to get, whether it's from the Suns or whomever. Yeah. You still want to share that information and let teams know, hey, I'm working on these very specific things that are going to make my game more valuable to whoever it is. So.
Yeah, and he was, that was what was impressive to me, is at 26 years old, he hears the trade rumors, he hears people saying you need to get better at this, this, and this. But he was saying, like, as a basketball player, I kind of separate myself from that because I know the game well. And so when somebody brings up a valid point, I can just separate myself from it, take the personal side out of it, and be like, okay, yeah, I see your point. But he did say, like, I know what I'm capable of. There are only a few people in the world that know what I'm capable of. And so I think he's excited to kind of build on that, whether it's here in Phoenix or whether it's here somewhere else. And he did also have another good quote about the trade rumors, if we want to pull up that graphic. The NBA is an entertaining league, and right now it's been an entertaining offseason. So grab your popcorn. I don't know what's going to happen. It could be a lot of things. He's very much like invested in how entertaining the NBA offseason is. It's kind of funny.
I love that we chose the photo of Cam being quite dejected, looking down sadly. And
y'all, we've had so much popcorn over the last few months. I'm over it.
Yeah,
I'm over it. I need to move on to something else.
I want all the popcorn.
Have all the popcorn.
Please, just keep it coming. It makes these long off seasons at least entertaining.
Yeah, I mean,
could
you imagine if we had nothing to talk about right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We could be breaking down what shoes Jacques Landell will be wearing this year or something.
Oh, geez.
Are we not going to do that?
That's later in August.
Okay. Isn't that on the schedule for next week? So lots of good stuff from Cam Johnson. It was good to finally hear from him as well. It's always far and few in between during the summer months that players are even in town, let alone available to
I've heard speak. Like 6 or 7 guys daily have been down there in the gym throughout the summer. It's some rotating, but there's been a fairly full house out there. So guys are out there working. They know what this season means coming up.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the offseason never stops. I mean, you're looking on, if you just look on social and across the country, like there's pro-ams going on all over the place, up in Seattle with Crawford, and then you got the Drew League. And I mean, players, hey, listen, ballers love the ball. And I know there's this big thing about, you know, wearing yourself down during the season and having a truncated offseason, but these guys put in work year round. They might take a few weeks off or a few days off here and there, but listen, it's in you. Like you can't help yourself. You just love to go out there and play. That's what makes these guys so great.
It's all went all Gatorade. It's in you.
I don't know why my left eye is tearing up, but it was emotional talking about
it. I'm low key though, writing that article. If you want to read more about Cam Johnson, what he had to say, it's on GoPHNX. But writing that article,
no, it's not if you want to, you need to.
It's self hype. Go read it on GoPHNX. Yes. Become a member, because Gerald does that kind of work that you need to be reading.
But it was emotional a little bit reading some of the things that he had to say, because this was his first time being able to host this tournament. He did it last year near where he lives in Pittsburgh. And this was kind of the first offseason, non-pandemic times, height of pandemic, that he was able to do this kind of event. And he was talking about how things like this, like the lemonade stand, have brought him closer to the fans, the city itself. Like this is his second home now. And so he's aware that, you know, if they can trade for KD and he's involved in it, it's going to happen. But you can tell he's proud of what they've been able to build since he arrived in the Valley, being part of this team's turnaround and just creating that relationship with the organization, his teammates, the fans, all of that. So he's always been a great interview. He's always been upfront, but if he is traded, I will definitely miss his kind of candor and just his personality in general, and aside from his 3-point shooting.
You will lose some of the human side with this team if you lose Cam and or McHale. I mean, we saw McHale out at the Vine. You see right. Cam with this in the community. If those guys are a centerpiece of some kind of deal this offseason or in the near future, it will change the dynamic of this group, because those guys are a special kind of guy in the community and in the locker room. So it will change things. You just got to wonder, how does it work? Does the chemistry get a little off if you do that? Because that's been a huge part of what this team's been able to do, and the change in culture is the chemistry. Those guys have seemed like a big part of it the last 2 years.
Well, we shall see how everything kind of shakes out, and things are getting closer and closer as we speak. I cannot believe it is August 1st.
I know.
We're 7 weeks away from camp.
We're so close. We're getting 7 there.
Weeks. It's so crazy. And that means, though, that there are futures bets available right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So if you are starting to try and figure out what you think this upcoming season is going to look like for specific players or teams throughout the league, right now is a really good time to get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. But when you download it and sign up, make sure you use that code PHNX, because after you make your first deposit, you're going to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
$1,000?
That's from the code PHNX. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I made some money last year on a futures bet Monty Williams being the coach of the year.
Nice.
Which was kind of nice. So I think I put one of my, because I had a free bet when I signed up. So like I think 25. I put $25 on it, and I think I made like $250.
Nice.
Something like that. So awesome. A couple pairs of shoes.
I got my eye on Suns Clippers Western Conference Finals. Last okay. I looked at it, I think it was like plus 1100.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's almost worth putting some money
well,
down.
Well, if you have a free bet too, it's nice because you're not really losing risk that free. Money if it if you don't hit on that bet. So mm-hmm. again, that's a $1,000 risk-free bet that's up for grabs right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Use that promo code, please.
Mm-hmm.
Lots. Okay. Over and over and over again.
Let's get into the the juicy stuff of today. It's yes. time for some screenshots yes. presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you. So today's screenshots, most of them are going to be a something, nothing, or everything mm-hmm. type of situation. And of course, we are going to start off with Jay Crowder. So mm-hmm. earlier today, he tweeted, "Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. I believe it's time for a change. I want to continue growing." So this was the start of the internet sleuths and checking all the things. Espo, do you want to share the other yeah, things we found?
I would have said nothing, but then I went to Jay Crowder's website and I found this. "A new journey lies ahead" is one of the images, main images there.
Okay.
And then I looked at what tweets Jay had liked recently. And the first one was a report. This was today he liked this tweet from June 30th, a report that there's rumors that he might be a PJ Tucker replacement in Miami. And then an hour later, he liked a tweet about potentially him going to Dallas. So yeah. either he's trolling the hell out of people and he had a bad breakup or something, which was the original tweet, or something is going on here.
Oh, it's something's going on for sure. I think maybe. OK, so we just talked about Cam dealing with trade rumors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jay had a bad day at the day club and he was just like, you know what? I'm done. It was a little mm-hmm. too hot. I'm kind of done with this whole relationship. I think I'm ready for somewhere where the summers don't try to kill me. So, yeah, I think it's everything. I think Jay Crowder probably signaling that he wants out, or maybe he's heard that he's going to be on his way out, or that he's been told that he will be part of a piece to try and get other pieces in here. So, like, hey, that is just it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's definitely something, because you can't ignore the fact that he's liking tweets for two different teams, both of which he's played for in the past. But at the same time, I am leaving the door open for it to be nothing, because it could. These guys are very well aware that we follow all of this stuff.
Yeah, every single movement.
Need a writing fence graphic.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, like, it could be nothing if he's trolling us. I'm not ruling that out entirely.
Well, he's not a trolling type, though.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
He wore the FJ Crowder shirt at a press conference. Yeah, which is trolling those guys.
That's the most easy thing to do. But he's not like a Twitter troll like Mikhail will troll people.
Mikhail definitely knows. He gets a kick out of
Mikhail,
it. Yeah,
Mikhail, sure. But the liking a Dallas tweet when you consider what just happened at the hands of Dallas is very bizarre.
That's what I'm saying. Is I think he wants out.
I think he's heard that they're going to move him. It would not shock me if he had some conversation. They were like, one way or another, we're moving you before the start of the season.
But see, that still doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because as much as other teams would like Jay Crowder, they like him probably as a complimentary piece or a supplementary piece, not like somebody that you're going to give up actual assets for. Like, what are the Suns going to get out of a Jay Crowder trade? I don't, unless you're including him as a piece of something bigger, where the Suns are getting the most prized piece coming back, I just don't feel like a lot of teams are going to give you what you need to contend for a title next year for a 30, what is he, 33?
You're not
34?
Getting a first rounder for him.
No. So, like, well, what
who
are
who cares about draft
why move
picks?
Him?
Nobody, we're not going to use him anyways.
No, if you're going to use him to leverage to try and get KD, is the only reason why you would trade him for
pieces.
Nothing of value in return.
I mean, maybe it's salary filler for something with Utah, you know, or. He's salary filler is what I think.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, and I don't think they would tell him, like, one way or another, we're moving you this offseason.
Yeah,
I think
that doesn't
it would
seem
be,
like a logical conversation.
You know,
here's
probably the more logical thing. They said to him, Cam's likely going to be our starter. And that's the change he references. And then he's also, you know,
That could
thinking about his future as well.
That could be possible. I mean,
like that, that seems like more of something they may say, tell a guy in the offseason.
I guess my thought, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm trying to remove ego from the situation, but I'm like, if I'm Jay Crowder, it's not like I love Jay. I think what he brings to the team is very valuable, but he's no Devin Booker. He's no Chris Paul. He's no Kevin Durant, right? He's a valuable piece, but he's not the piece.
Yeah, but
so, and he's towards the end of his career too. So like, do you really think he's going to be that pissed about coming off the bench instead of starting next year?
Yes, it's an ego. You can't take ego out when you're talking about professional athletes.
I mean, this is
like,
true.
They grew up in a world where they were told they were the best since they were little kids. They come up through an AAU system. They're the best in their high school. They're the best at their college.
But he's also been in the NBA for a long time, and he's seen a lot of people who are better than him.
Yeah, but he goes, look, we made the finals. I was the starter. We had the best record in the NBA. I was the starter. Like, I could see where that would piss a guy off. You don't want to admit that you're regressing, that you're going backwards, that you're going to be coming off the bench for a 26-year-old. Like, that's the stuff that it's tough to come to grips with in your career.
Right. And I think Hello said it best. Jay has that dog in him. He wants to start. Like, talking to Jay Crowder over the last few years, he's definitely a guy who takes a lot of pride in the care that he's taken of his body, of where his game is still at this point in his career. And he is a starting caliber player. I do think the Suns might be at the point where you start Cam Johnson to mix things up a little bit, see what you have there, put Cam and Mikhail in different spots than you did last year. But I think it's something that he's a team player. Like, this is not a situation where I think he would be mad the whole season if he's not starting. No. But I do think it, like you're saying, it is an adjustment if you're told up front, like the first couple of weeks, it might take some time to wrap your head around that and what your new role might be.
I would find it kind of surprising if it happened right now. Like, you're still like 2 months away from training camp. Why even broach that subject? As a coach, listen, it either came from Monty or it came from James. It wouldn't come anywhere else. And those two don't like conflict in the least. Oh. So why create it in the middle of an offseason unless you're trying to gauge his interest on wanting to get out of here, or you're trying to gauge other interest around the league in trying to trade him? Like, him being unhappy maybe plays to your advantage and puts it out there that he's available for trade because he doesn't want to be here anymore. Well, I don't know.
It also, if they don't like confrontation, it's better to tell him way before training camp so it's not a distraction, because last thing you want is to tell a guy a week before training camp you're not going to be our starter or in training camp, and then have him pissed off then too, especially if you're getting prepared to potentially pay Cam if a KD trade doesn't happen. I mean, you're going to have to name him the starter if you give him the kind of money that you expect to give him.
I don't think it matters if you tell him now or if you tell him then. He could have 7 weeks to sit here and stew on this, and then you get to training camp, and maybe you think he's okay, he's dealt with those emotions. The first time they step on the court and he feels like he's better than Cam, it's going to come right back up. So I don't think that really matters.
Can you put his original tweet back up, Shane? So change is inevitable. Growth is optional. I believe it's time for a change. I want to continue growing. I think could be, maybe it's not the negative. Maybe right. It is. I know I'm now a bench guy in this league, and I'm going to do what I can to support it. I don't know that this is necessary. We're reading tea leaves.
Right.
I don't know that this is necessarily a negative in what he's saying. Again, he could have been broken up with. He could be changing who he's dating. Or
I think we went negative because of the liked tweets.
Tweets is what made this negative. And also, I mean, like, it's funny because there's people in the chat that are like, F you, Jay. I'm like, whoa. I mean,
the picture on his website is also Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and not a new journey lies ahead. It could just be another business endeavor, right?
Like, he could be anything.
Expanding his clothing line.
He could have driven to the gym a different way today. Right. Like,
we're speculating.
He could be 100%. Coming out with F. Jay Crowder hats. Like, we don't know what it could be.
He did have a huge discount sale on his website. None of that stuff is still there. So read what you want into that, too.
Yeah, he's dropping a whole new brand, a whole new launch. Like,
Jay, if you want to get into the merch game at another level, buddy,
I mean, give us just a call. Saul's DMs are open.
Gotcha. All the time.
Hello said being a Suns fan is being negative. So fair. That's. That's our past drama coming back out, reverting to the negative.
He's really bad.
Especially when we're bored in August.
They're like, oh, it's another Eric Bledsoe. And this song,
I don't know that I would go as far as that.
Nothing will ever compare to that, I don't think. At least I hope not.
I still believe he was at the hair salon with his wife.
So this is something, and we'll keep an eye on it. And we'll definitely check on Jay's like tweets tomorrow before the show and bring you anything that's updated from then.
This is what our life has come to. We're checking like tweets.
All right. Our next AZ Health screenshot. This is a tweet that shared a video of Mike James on a podcast talking about KD and the playoffs last season. Now, the tweet was captioned, quote, Kevin Durant called Mike James before the NBA playoffs started and told him the Nets were cooked. Wow, end quote. But the words seem a little bit different. So let's listen to the video and see if you guys think that that was what he said.
What is about your relationship with Kevin Durant?
When I got to the Nets, like, I think I only really knew, like, Blake before I got there. Kev was one of the reasons, like, one of the people that vouched for me to come to Brooklyn to, like, for Brooklyn to sign me. So when I got signed and we was going on the road, we just like a lot of the same stuff. So we ended up just hanging out with each other every time on the road. Like, he got the big suite, so we'll just go in there, hang out, kick it, play the game, talk. So we just got close. And then after that, when I went back overseas, it was just like, all right, whoever season in first, the other one gonna come to watch like the playoffs. When I first said it, I thought, okay, you're gonna be in the finals, I'm gonna get to go to the finals, that's lit.
Right.
So when they was trash and they was losing, I called him one day, I was like, all right, so you know what this means, right? You're gonna come to my playoff game. He was like, there's no way I'm coming to your playoff game. And then like a week later, he called me before the playoffs start. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be there in like a couple of weeks, dog. We finna lose.
But dude, I had so many questions.
But I'm sure
he fly private.
Like, you know what? Like, he flew private back. He didn't fly private there because it was too expensive. And he was.
So I feel like the caption of the tweet was obviously to grab people's attention and get them to listen. But I don't know that he fully said that the Nets were cooked within that soundbite.
Anybody that watched the Nets knew that he was going to have a quick out in that playoffs. Like, are we supposed to act like Kevin Durant couldn't see that coming either? Like, come on. And he was talking to his buddy, like, joking around, I'm sure. All I got out of that was Suns great Mike James likes to smoke weed because he wants to hang out with Kevin Durant that much. You got to read between the lines here is what I'm guessing. So
I didn't take it that way. I didn't feel like that's what he was saying at all. I felt like he was just saying, yeah, I'm going to be up there soon. Like, I didn't feel like he was admitting that they were going to lose. They damn near won game one against Boston. If they win game one against Boston, maybe that series changes. They should have won game one against Boston. But, you know, I digress. I didn't really get that from that. Definitely not from the tweet.
I mean, if he was calling Mike James and like, all right, yeah, I'll probably end up being up there. He was at least jokingly acknowledging that they're probably not going to make a deep playoff run. So I think it's just a funny thing between friends, but I don't read too much into it. But it did sound like he was basically saying, yeah, we're not going to go very far this year.
Which I don't think is too crazy of a thing to say. If you're somebody who's as good of a basketball player as Kevin Durant is, he probably understands the situation he's in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's probably going to try his hardest to get them out of that situation. But sometimes look at Devin early on in his career. There's only so much you can do. If you don't have the pieces around you or there's something going on behind the scenes that's making it more difficult, there's only so much that one person can do.
And players know, too, if they got a championship team or if they don't, right? Like, there, you can tell it long before when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it goes team by team because I think there's other teams that maybe don't have as much talent, but fundamentally speaking and effort-wise, they're on a whole nother level. So, you know, you got a bunch of dogs with you. You got a chance. The Nets did not have that, not even in the slightest. And KD didn't even play that well in that round either. He was kind of hot trash for KD standards as well. So, he probably was like, yeah, we're cooked.
Yeah.
So something, nothing, or everything?
I say nothing.
Kay. Nothing. Something.
Something.
They all say something.
You think KD's calling him going, Mike, I know you're going to do some podcasts. Why don't we let this stuff out?
I don't know. I'm so not taking
we can get me out of Brooklyn.
I'm that not would be everything.
Something is, there was something going on in Brooklyn that Kevin Durant wasn't stoked about. He right. saw the writing on the wall, and maybe that is also a portion of why he wants to leave and go to Phoenix.
That yeah. something just, is Steve Nash.
It just reinforces what we already know, that he wants out because he's smart enough to look at his surroundings and be like, okay, I don't think I'm going to win a title here. I might as well go to Phoenix where I will have a chance to do that.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, this is a good point. Hello said, if DA said that before game seven, crazy fans would be furious. Could you imagine if, oh my God, we reacted so hardcore about him playing fucking video games till 2 o'clock in the morning. If he said, oh, I knew we were cooked against Dallas as soon as that game started, like people would lose their shit.
And rightfully so. Well, they were a 64-win team. The Nets were garbage all season. That would be a big different story.
If Tyler Ulis is on this podcast tomorrow, or some rando guy that played for the Suns, and he's like, yeah, DA called me the night before game seven and said, seven of our guys have COVID, and I don't think we're going to be able to win. He still would get roasted, yeah, even if it was like absolutely. Factually true.
A million percent. Like,
rightfully so. No, that's a different scenario from what he just said is a totally different scenario.
Okay, here we go.
Totally different scenario from what you paid. Okay.
So knowing what we know about the Suns and potentially Chris Paul having COVID, mm-hmm. if DA knew Chris Paul had COVID and the way they were playing that entire series with Chris Paul having COVID and him saying, yeah, I knew we were going to get cooked before that game because Chris Paul was basically not Chris Paul. Like, would you really shit on DA for that?
No, I was saying rightfully so to the scenario you presented, not the bullshit one he just came up with.
No, but then we
seeds of chaos that have nothing to do with what we were talking about originally.
Then I said, yeah, and then you were like, no, yeah, rightfully so. I was like, wait, what?
No, rightfully so to yours, not to his.
Rightfully so to the Kevin Durant in Brooklyn situation.
But in my scenario,
KD and DA were swapped in that scenario, yes.
He's just laughing his ass off. He's a joker over here.
In my scenario, if DA was to say after the first quarter, like he told somebody, like, oh, I knew we were gonna lose after the first quarter, like they were down by like what, 25 in the first quarter, like,
but again, that's a different scenario than the one that I said rightfully so to.
Hold on, okay. Gerald, are you new to the show? I always,
this man
this
is lobbing always joker grenades on the whole show and just laughing his ass off.
We're just playing in a land of stupid hypotheticals today.
Right, but
like everything is. We read Jay Carter's tweet.
But the hypotheticals were different. They were two different.
I got confused about the hypothetical that he said that you agreed with, and I was like, wait, what? If seven dudes had COVID and DA said I knew we were cooked, you would have a problem with that? What?
Yeah, no, that's why I lost it. No, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I know that people would blow up, and that wouldn't be rightfully so. But the scenario you painted, if he like said before game seven, like, I think we're cooked. Yeah, that's a different thing.
Oh yeah,
that's all I was saying.
All right, our next AZL screenshot. This one's a less dramatic one,
you think?
Well, I would hope. I don't know how this could be dramatic. Devin Booker and Book Projects have designed a custom pill speaker inspired by the Sonoran Desert.
It's got a black B on it. He's saying he wants to go to Brooklyn. He's saying it through a speaker.
But there's a P on it, so maybe that's saying he wants to stay in Phoenix.
Maybe
you guys, with your
maybe
and
it's
P's.
Brooklyn to Phoenix because it's BP.
Oh, maybe it's KD.
Kevin Durant, now look at confirm that. It
he's
right
sending,
now.
He's sending messages that KD's on the way. Or it's or it's a Beats pill, and that's why it has a BP on it.
I like the Brooklyn to Phoenix thing better.
You just saw the BNP?
I couldn't make out because it's so dark on the side. I was like, "What is that? A P?"
It kind of looks like it could be two Bs, but it's a B and a P. One on
could be Booker
side.
Project too.
Well, I think that's why it's such a good.
Well, it's a Booker Project.
I think that's why it's such a good collaboration. Is because it works for both parties involved.
Yeah. You know it's bad when Shane is sighing behind the computer.
Yeah, it's not the greatest concept in the world.
I like it.
Would you get one or not?
I mean,
not for the price.
I'm a broke
though.
Boy, so no. They're expensive.
It was BP,
man.
Not BB. Okay?
They're expensive. Broke boy. I'll do my own rendition.
We can get you that cheap
Sharpie. Just Sharpie and finish off the P.
Broke boy.
He's going to go buy one of those $5 Bluetooth set at Target and just write BB on it.
The Sharpie.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to do. Like, the Booker fanboys are probably going to buy it, but I don't think I would.
Just give me the signature shoe already. I don't need a Bluetooth speaker. I just want the damn shoe.
That's what everyone's waiting for.
Not the Moss Point shoe is not.
Fly, dude.
They are, but I want a basketball shoe. Give me something you can wear on the court.
Are you going to wear it on the court?
No, I'm going to wear it on the show.
His court. This is his court.
My domain.
I got you.
I was gonna drop 160 on those Barkley retro Air Max 94s that they dropped, and the missus was like, "You look like an idiot in those." Oh, and I was like, "Yes, I would. I'm not gonna drop 160 bucks on
but
that."
But does it make you happy?
No,
that's all
I don't think
matters.
It would because I think I just find the shoes annoying eventually.
That's what you know. What we need to do. This is what we need to do.
You need to buy me a pair of Barclays?
No,
sure.
We need to go shopping. Bastard. And we need to hook up Espo the right way.
What?
We do. No. Because if you're gonna wear those shoes, then you need the whole get up.
Nobody wants to see me dressed in the whole get up.
No, he's not talking about a uniform.
No, I'm saying whatever the whole get up is that makes me look right in those shoes, I'm not gonna look cool in it. We already know this.
Oh,
see, I kind of yourself deprecating ways.
Have some confidence, Espo.
Absolutely.
I'm here for the
have
makeover
some confidence.
Sequence.
Right.
Three out of four of us.
If,
you know what? You
if
know
it's
what?
On
how
the company's dime,
how about this?
I'll do the makeover.
Here it is right here. Here you go, Shane. You're going to like this. The next time I have to face you in Southwest Bias, that's the deal for me, is that I get to do a makeover on
you. Why didn't you? Okay. That can be the punishment now if you want to make it that punishment for losing.
Yeah, but
I'm fine with that.
I can't pull it off before Thursday. It takes a lot of work to make you
then
over,
we postpone me to do it next week. As long as the company's paying, I don't care. If I'm not paying for the outfit, I'll wear whatever the hell you want within reason. I saw that face.
Rick That's said Espo as a hype beast would be hilarious. I don't know that we're going to go that far, Rick, because we're not
Why
trying
not?
To.
Let's go all in.
we're beast being Espo somewhat legitimate, soon. Right? Like trying to find you an outfit that looks good with those type of shoes.
You can be whatever you want.
Well, I'm excited.
Okay. Are you going to do it, Saul?
The next time we do Southwest Bias, then I win.
I love that you're just assuming I'm going to lose the next time we go ahead to head.
Dude, I destroyed you last time, bro.
No, you didn't.
It was 85-15. What do you mean I didn't?
Because there were a lot of people that didn't know what they were talking about.
Is it because
it
Saul had his bots in the chat?
Yeah, it wasn't my fault.
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't my fault.
Because
literally,
had your whole family coming and vote. Like,
I mean, I feel like our voters
have two people.
I feel like our voters
the kids
generally
are in school.
Our voters generally know what they're talking about because I won our
shut
logo
it, Gerald.
Draft.
See,
got him.
I mean, it's true.
Because
if I had bots, I would have done much better in that poll. But I came
I
in dead
bots.
Last, so clearly it wasn't that.
Gerald has bots.
That was our most competitive poll, though.
Charles Woodall Pike, I voted for Espo. It was rigged. You're right. That's why you're one of our best viewers
Listen,
ever.
One thing we're not going to do here is fucking defraud the vote. Okay?
Yes, we're not stopping
We're not going to do that here.
We're not
I'm so sick of that shit in real life. We're not going to do it here on this fucking show.
So,
I'm going to tell you that right now.
So I should cancel the Cyber Ninjas?
Oh, my God.
I used our budget for this month on that. I should cancel that.
So,
she's low key mad about that poll because she lost.
I am, but we're
going
to go back to Twitter because it was you beat me by 0.3%. It's fine. Out of all of ours, I liked yours second best to mine, of course.
Thank
so
you,
that's
sir.
Okay. But I still
screw
am really
you,
upset.
Lindsay.
I'm still really upset because I felt like I had a solid lineup, and
so I shouldn't have voted for Gerald from the PHNX Suns account.
There's no way you did
Oops.
That.
He probably did. He probably voted for himself. We should
tie.
Go on to let's
I know
go
that he
on
votes
to
for himself
because
he always starts off these polls in the lead.
This is true.
For the first like
this
15 to 20 votes.
Espo may not have bots, but he's got at least three or four burners.
Mm-hmm. I was in second place for like a hot minute.
You were.
It just all fell apart.
Then people took a closer look.
No, I knew exactly when it happened. When she tweeted,
oh yeah,
and I'm not saying that you have like you do have fans,
yeah,
but you have
yeah,
fans,
yeah.
But as soon as she tweeted, I saw Lindsay Smith tweeted, and I was like,
uh oh,
hello, Dr.
it's over.
I knew I had no shot at that moment.
Okay, there was another really fun thing that happened on Twitter. We're out of the screenshots now, but we're just talking about things that happened on Twitter over the last 72 hours or so. our friend Derek. He is the host of the PHNX D-backs podcast. He's on vacation right now. He's in Disneyland, right?
I'm going this Saturday.
Let's go.
You're going too?
Oh yeah.
Shane's going.
I know.
Are you guys going together?
No.
Oh.
I'm going Saturday and Sunday.
He actually wasn't at Disneyland. He was just on OGs and thought he was at Disneyland.
I mean,
well, it's funny you mentioned that.
I don't know, but this was hilarious. He posted a picture of him on a roller coaster with the biggest, cheesiest smile on his face. He is living life. And OG's Brands retweeted it on Twitter with the hashtag powered by OG's. And if this doesn't convince you to try out some OG's, if you are kind of curious, as everyone here likes to call it, I don't know what else will, because Derek's face is pure joy.
Let's be honest. They could put hashtag powered by OG's on all of Derek's tweets, and 95% of the time they'd be right.
This is true. But this picture is fantastic. And I also have some really cool and exciting things to tell you guys about OGs. So it's free stuff season.
Oh.
We've got a Flavoring Life sweepstakes that we have going on right now with PHNX OGs.
So you're telling me we have two giveaways
we
every
have
month?
Two giveaways.
One with Four Peaks and now one with OGs?
Yes. And you can enter both of them. So one winner of the Flavoring Life sweepstakes will receive three bags of OGs, including the orange creamsicle flavor and tropical flavors, an OGs hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership.
Damn.
So this is a solid giveaway that you guys are going to want to get in on. Make sure that you go to gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes to enter this sweepstake and for your chance to win all of this amazing stuff. In the meantime, highly recommend you check out OGs online at ogsbrands.com or on Instagram at ogsbrands. And also, if you don't want to wait for the giveaway to dabble or restock whichever one, you can also find their products at your local dispensary. But just remember, you have to be 21 years or older to purchase.
You had me at three bags of OGs.
I mean, it's like, these are really solid giveaways. I'm pretty stoked. Should we just tell everybody about the other giveaway that while you're already at gophnx.com, you should sign up for?
Yes. Let's do another one.
So this one is PHNX and Four Peaks. So we did our Toast of the Month last month. That was the first time we launched this sweepstakes with Four Peaks. It continues into this month. And when you enter into this one, you get an opportunity to potentially win $50 Four Peaks gift card, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. Again, go phnx.com or click the link in our show notes to enter that. And this one, just a reminder, you have to be 21 or older to enjoy the beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. But the gift card works for food and merch and everything else over at the Four Peaks Brewery, and the whole family is welcome to go down there and enjoy the vibes.
We're like Chris Paul. We're getting you the bag. We're assisting you and getting you all this great stuff.
Except we're not going to make you fucking dance for it. We're gonna give it to you. Because I said we're going to give it to you, and that's what's going to happen. Like, shout out to our guy Max, who's been working behind the scenes to make stuff happen like this. And again, I even tweeted a thread today about a lot of this community stuff, is that like everything that we do, we essentially try to do it for you. Like, the only thing we ask in return is your support. Really, that's it. Like, it's as simple as that. It's been phenomenal. Our relationship with all of our sponsors have been phenomenal. They've been awesome. And we continue to try and cultivate those relationships around the valley, because we want to give you a community to be able to enjoy yourself. And OGs and Four Peaks, you can't go wrong and enjoying yourself with that stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to sign an offer sheet with some cannabis company in Indiana or some bar in Indiana. We're just going to give you the goods. That's how it works here.
Well, it was a fun show. It was a little less spicy than last Monday's show, which is a good start to the week. And I'm very happy about that.
What happened last Monday?
Eli has a great idea. New PHNX shirt. It just says, unleash your inner Chelsea.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Is Chelsea like the new Karen?
No.
Oh no.
It's the PHNX Karen.
Lord have mercy. Chelsea, I don't know if Chelsea's going to come out in a while. It took like almost a whole entire year into this thing is the first time she really like
No, she's come out before. We just didn't know who she was. And now that we know who she is, we can identify her a little easier. And so like, listen, you can't control when Chelsea comes. She just is going to show up whenever she wants to.
This is true. It is 100%.
That should be your Halloween costume is Chelsea.
I don't even know what that would look like, to be completely honest. It would just look like me on every other day.
Just be angry.
I don't know. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate you as always. We'll be back tomorrow, same place, same time, 2 p.m. right here on our YouTube channel. On your way out, be sure to hit that thumbs up because it really helps us out and we appreciate it. But until tomorrow, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Don't spend too much time looking at Jay Crowder's tweets and trying to figure him out tonight. Go enjoy life. Ahoy, hoy. Phoenix Metro, Megas in control, and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX though, Lindsay Gerald Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like DA on the line.